Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Cliff, I look enormous. I look enormous with those glasses.
Kendall, I hate to. Let me tell you this. Let me interrupt your story for this news bulletin. As much as we want to blame everything else, material possessions included, on how fat we look, mostly it's because we're enormous that we look so fat.
Tell me that, Cliff.
Because we take up so much space on the earth.
I didn't have things to blame it on.
Let's rejoin our regularly scheduled fat cast. I mean podcast.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free, and there are bad jokes and fat hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast. We're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall, come along for the ride, where we can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring, and occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
This week we're talking about the worst month in the world, January.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
No, Kendall, it's not the worst month. No.
What's the worst month, Cliff? If you had to pick a month, what would you say is the worst month? We're making people aware how bad it is, aren't we?
Allow me to refer you back to two previous awareness months that were much more horrible than
on.
January, February, and August are way more worse.
No.
You're wrong. But Kendall,
there's a debate on the show. What? August is hot, and I love it. February is second only to January, because January is the month Christmas.
Where you and August can go somewhere else hot that you will love. Hell. And Kendall,
I'm headed there already, Cliff. I'm headed there already.
About January? What do you feel? Now, I know we don't like it because it's a post Christmas and it's a holiday letdown a month long, right?
Yes. January is 31 days that follows Christmas. That is just cold and bleak and wintry. February, you're like 1 month closer to spring. February still sucks.
Here's
Valentine's
what
Day
I
is there to buy chocolates and flowers.
For the next, I want you to put 30 seconds on the clock. 30
oh God.
Seconds on the clock.
Oh, God. Hold on, Cliff. Let me put 30 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
Because I can't fucking handle what's happening to this episode. I can't handle it.
Well,
so for 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
We're
going
to plead our case at the same time for what we think about January. So you talk all about how you think it's better and what you like better. And I'm going to talk. We're doing it for 30 seconds.
At the same time?
Move on. Yeah. Now, go.
I think January
is
an awful month because it's
given
no Santa Claus.
August.
I am the most annoying person in the world.
It's
close. It's
way
cold.
Way
it's
too long. Sweating.
But just
the good
disgustingness.
Over a little
work,
bit.
So it's like there's nothing to do afterwards. February is going to be amazing.
Are we done?
That's 30 seconds.
All right. That's great. Kendall, what about... Like, what are the big things in January that you look forward to, the big life events that happen to us all around this time of year?
Martin Luther King Day, Cliff.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love it? I'm going to pour myself a little bit more of this California sweet red table wine. Do you ever drink that?
I've never seen that before. I'm drinking Honey Jack and Vanilla Coke.
I don't know what... Do you see this? Table wine. What does that mean? I think it means like it just was spilled on the table and then they put it in the bottle.
I think that that's what they cook with, Cliff. I think that they're like, don't do anything but cook with this.
Good.
Don't drink with it, for God's sakes. Was that 97 cents at the dollar store?
It was 5 99.
Oh, big spender. Big spender, Cliff.
I can buy this thing.
It's good. I'm starting to drink red wine. I want to expand my
I love red wine. I hate white wine. I hate white wine as much as I do January.
I love white wine. Kendall, if you want to have 35 seconds about the merits and non-merits of white and red wine, we can do that, but let's not.
Cliff, before we get to that, I have some facts about January I want to share with you.
Kendall, I just want to tell everybody real quick for you. Before the facts, everybody.
Okay,
This is the preamble to the facts about January. I started drinking red wine because I wanted to feel more like I was on Cougar Town. And Cougar Town is coming back soon to the ABC schedule, and you should look it up and watch it. It is not about cougars. It is a great, great show. It is like a sequel to Friends. It is people drinking. It's similar to an episode of Living in a Ghost Coast with fewer belches and fewer bald men. So, yes, what are the facts?
But guess what else is on ABC? Body Proof, Tuesday nights. 10 o'clock Central, or 10 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Central. Tune in.
Such a good show. Will Middle America get it? Is Cougar Town and Body Proof too good? Are they too good for Middle America?
They won't. What I have to say about January is this. Named for Janus, a Roman god, Roman legend has it that the ruler Numa Pompilius added January and February to the end of the 10-month Roman calendar in about 700 BC. Cliff, why didn't they leave well enough alone?
Why didn't you leave well enough alone, Pompilius?
Leave January and February out of it. 10 months was plenty.
Just leave us out of this, okay?
10 months was plenty. Cliff, January is Eye Care Month, Hot Tea Month, National Blood Donor Month, National Braille Literacy Month, National Hobby Month, National Soup Month, National Staying a Healthy Month, which we are way out of bounds.
Goddamn.
National Thank You Month. Cliff, thank you for being on the show. And finally, it's
that
not belch month.
National that month.
It's oatmeal month, Cliff. Go out and eat some oatmeal, thank somebody, and stay healthy.
Quaker Oats, it's good stuff, Kendall.
It's good, and that's no joke.
That's no joke.
I wish it was a joke. Oh my God.
I wish it was a joke how mother freaking fat we are, but it's not. Kendall, nothing truer has ever been said.
Just hold on. I wish it was a joke, Cliff, but it's not. Hey, Cliff. It's time for the bad jokes.
Kendall, this music, it takes me back to the farm. And there was a farmhand. And he's driving around the farm, checking the fences.
Yes,
and after a few minutes, he radios his boss and says, "Well, boss, I got a problem. I hit a pig on the road, and he's stuck in the bull bars of my truck, and he's still a-wriggling. What should I do?"
Oh, no.
And the boss, he says, "In the back of your truck, there's a shotgun. Shoot the pig in the head, and when it stops wriggling, you can pull it out and throw it in the bush." And the farm worker says, "Okay," and signs off. And about 10 minutes later, he radios back, "Boss, I did what you said. I shot the pig and dragged it out and threw it in the bush. And so what's the problem now?" His boss snapped. "Well, the blue light on his motorcycle is still flashing."
Ooh.
Ooh, cop killer. Kendall, nothing funny about that.
Cop killer. Killer. Oh, God, sorry. I don't know if you sensed the anticipation that was coming from that belt. Cliff, during the Great Depression...
Never before have I seen someone actually belch out anticipation, but you did it. You did it.
But it happened. But during the Great Depression, there was a man who walked into a bar one day. He went up to the bartender and said, "Bartender, I'd like to buy the house a round of drinks." This may be an oldie, but a goodie. Cliff, the bartender said, "That's fine, but we're in the middle of the Great Depression, so I'll need some money first." And the guy pulled out a huge wad of bills, set him on a bar, and the bartender says, he could not believe what he's seeing. He said, "Where'd you get all that money?" And he said, I'm a professional gambler. And the bartender said, "There is no such thing. I mean, your odds are 50-50 at best, right?" And the guy, he said, "Well, I only bet on sure things." And the bartender says, "Like what?" He says, "Well, for example, I'll bet you $50 I can bite my right eye, Cliff."
Uh-oh.
And the bartender thought about this for a minute.
Do it.
And he was like, "All right, I'll bet you. I don't care." He said, "Okay." So the guy pulled out his false right eye and bit it, Cliff. And the bartender says, "Oh, you screwed me." And he paid the guy $50.
Screwed me.
And the guy said, "I'll give you another chance. I'll bet you another $50 I can bite my left eye." And the bartender thought again. He said, "Well, I know you're not blind because you walked in here. So I will take the bet." And the guy pulled out his false teeth and bit his left eye. And he was like, "Oh, you screwed me again." And the guy said, "That's why I win so much money." And he said, I'll take the bottle of your best scotch in place for the $50. So with that, the guy went to the back room, Cliff, do a little bit of card playing. And drunk as a skunk, he came back out, and the bartender said, I'll give you one last chance. I'll bet you $100 that I can stand on this bar on one foot and piss into that whiskey bottle on that shelf behind you without spilling a drop. And the bartender said, okay. And the guy couldn't even stand up straight on 2 feet, much less one. So the bartender was really excited about this. The guy climbed up on the bar, stood on one leg, and began pissing all over the place, Cliff. He hit the bar of the bartender himself, but not a drop made it into the whiskey bottle. And the bartender was ecstatic. He laughed, and he said, hey, pal, you owe me $500 or $100. And the guy climbed down from the bar, and he said, that's okay. I bet each of these guys in the card room $1,000 each that I could pay you $100 to piss all over you in the bar, and it would still make you laugh.
Oh, no. Kendall.
Oh, sorry, Cliff, that was a long joke, but it was a funny one.
Tony had just finished reading a new book entitled You Can Be the Man of Your House. And he stormed it to his wife in the kitchen and announced, from now on, bitch, you need to know that I'm the man of this house, and my word is the law. And you will prepare me a gourmet meal tonight, and when I'm finished eating said meal, you will serve me a sumptuous dessert. And after dinner, you're going to go upstairs with me, and we will have the kind of sex that I want to have. And afterwards, you're going to draw me a bath so I can relax.
Oh, my.
And you will wash my back, and I will not wash yours. And you'll towel me dry and bring me my robe. Then you'll massage my aching feet and hands. And then tomorrow, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair? Kendall, his wife, replied, the funeral director would be my first guest.
Oh, ouch, Cliff. That hurts a little bit.
It hurts, Kendall. It hurts when it's true.
It hurts when it's true, Cliff, just like my obesity. Cliff, a Chinese man and Steven Spielberg were drunk in a bar. Spielberg suddenly slapped.
I don't know where this is going.
Oh, I know. See, Cliff, most of our listeners don't. That's what they think when the show starts. They're like, I don't know where this is
going. I don't know where this is going.
January Awareness Month? Really? Spielberg suddenly slapped the Chinese man, and the Chinese man says, why? And Spielberg says, because you bombed Pearl Harbor. My father died there. And the Chinese man says, but I'm Chinese, I'm not Japanese. And Spielberg said, you fool, Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Taiwanese, you're all the same.
Oh, no.
So, Cliff, the Chinese man punched Steven Spielberg in the face.
Who can blame him?
I could. Cliff, Spielberg said, why did you do that? And the Chinese man said, that's for sinking the Titanic. And Spielberg said, but Titanic was sunk by an iceberg, stupid. And the Chinese man said, iceberg, Carlsberg, Spielberg, you're all the same. He got that back, Cliff. Steven Spielberg finally had a dose of his own medicine. Oh, my God. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4
belches. A magician.
Oh, that's me, Cliff. I'm a magician.
You worked on a cruise ship. You were performing magic, and the audience was different each week, so the boring old magician did the same tricks over and over again. But there was one problem, Kendall. The captain's parrot saw the shows each week and began to understand how the magician did every trick. Once he understood, he started shouting in the middle of the show, look, it's not the same hat, or look, he's hiding the flowers under the table, or hey, why are all the cards the ace of spades?
What an idiot bird.
That's how he sounded. And the magician was furious, but couldn't do nothing. And it was, after all, the captain's parrot. The ship then sank, speaking of the Titanic. And the magician found himself on a piece of wood in the middle of the sea with, as fate would have it, the parrot. They stared at each other with hatred, each wishing the other's heart would not go on, and they did not utter a word. And this, Kennedy, went on for a day, and then another, and then another. Finally, Kendall, on the fourth day, the parrot could not hold back and said, okay, I give up. Where's the f***ing ship?
No.
Oh. you bitch magician. Getting rid of that ship, you bitch.
Make it disappear. It's what happens, Cliff. We can't help it as magicians. We have to do it.
You have to do
it. It's part of the code.
You are a bumbling magician. I think like those ants on Bewitched. Don't you think?
Cliff, I've never bumbled to you. I've bumbled to other people, but not to you.
I think you're a great magician. But I think if there was a show, you'd be a good bumbling.
I'm as good of a magician as we are podcasters, Cliff. So that should tell you something.
Don't say things. The Peabody Committee will one day
Cliff,
realize.
I gotta take a break before the Peabody realizes the hacks that we really are.
Kendall.
And after you finish this next joke. That's what
I'm done. Done.
Well, you said Kendall. I gotta tell this joke.
Kendall, I gotta take a break.
Okay, we'll be right back after this, listeners.
Hey, you've made it this far into the show. It'd be a shame to give up now. Cliff and Kendall will be right back after the break.
Do you often say to yourself, I've got all this stupid jewelry that my idiot relatives left to me, and I want it out of my face? Well, if so, let me introduce you to CliffandKendallForGold.com. Just send us your jewelry, silverware, or other shiny metals in a self-sealing envelope. And in 6 to 8 weeks, you'll receive something worth more than gold. A compact disc filled with a randomly chosen episode of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. You could receive Tea Party in the USA, Clean Week, or even January Awareness Month. Just for sending us your old wedding ring, tennis bracelets, or teeth. Visit CliffandKendallForGold.com to find out details on how you can get started today.
Make some room, Cliff and Kendall are back. No, seriously, they're morbidly obese. You're going to have to scoot over.
Oh, Kendall, I'm giving our listeners a night call just to tell them how I feel. And, Kendall, how I feel about January. It's so cold, don't you think? A beautiful winter landscape is one of the most awe-inspiring sights of all.
I do, but I live in California, so January really doesn't do anything for me.
Kendall, there are people up in the mountains of California for whom it does something.
Oh, Cliff, I just got back from the mountains in January. It was 70 degrees. I went skiing. There was snow on the ground. It was 70 degrees. It was hot. You had to make your own fake snow.
Way up. You went way up next to, Oregon.
Cliff, I didn't go to Alaska to hang out there.
Get out of
here,
fucking idiot. There's a grand old poem called Winter. That's what Henry David Thoreau said.
Oh, why don't you tell me what he said?
That's all he said, Kendall. That's something everybody should know.
Sorry, give me a second. It's time for the game show that makes you want to sing out loud. Songs you should know. And now, here are your hosts, Cliff and Kendall.
Kendall, all my songs today have been listed as some of the all-time great adult contemporary songs on the Billboard chart.
Good, I'm so glad. Sing me a song, piano man. Mr. Perfect Pitch.
I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. I'm just out to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird. I'm more than a plane. I'm more than some big fat face beside a train.
Beside a train, and it's not easy to be me. That was
it's not easy to be this fucking obese.
Why? Well, it's not easy to be anything about us, but it's Superman.
Why? Well, of course it is. Why? Why, Lord? Why?
Well, of course it is. Don't say it's songs you should know. I should get a yes, Kendall. Amazing. That was such a wonderful guess.
Yes, Kendall. Amazing. Such a wonderful guess.
Don't patronize me, Cliff. When my soul was in the lost and found, You came along to claim.
Kendall, you make me feel like a natural bro.
Oh, Cliff, do you feel like a natural woman?
I feel like Murphy Brown holding a newborn. Sometimes the snow comes down in June. Sometimes the sun goes round the moon. I see the passion in your eyes. Sometimes it's all a big surprise.
Save the best for last.
Oh, Kendall, if there were ever a show, we would be at the end and they would have saved the best for the last, Kendall.
Oh, just like that sad music, we saved the best for last.
Vanessa Williams, Kendall, at Christmas time, I heard her version of Do You Hear What I Hear? On the radio, and I was rocking out to it, Kendall. I was rocking to the Vanessa Williams. Do you hear?
I rock out to everything, Cliff.
With our fat out.
I may have sang this one before, but I don't care. So she when took you're the weary, love for the gaze a while upon the fields of barley.
Is that fields of gold?
Oh, Cliff, how did you ever guess?
Fields of rye.
It's on the fields of rye, and that was Charles the Contractor on his second album. I'll fix it.
Kendall, the number one adult contemporary song according to the Billboard charts begins like this. I'll be your dream, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy. I'll be your hope, I'll be your love, be everything.
Truly, madly, deeply.
Truly, madly, deeply, Kendall, that's how we love the show.
I've never been this good at this game, Cliff. Ever.
Adult contemporary.
Ever.
Now, as I read the list of adult contemporary hits, I did think it sounded so much like everything my parents used to listen to in the car when I was a teenager.
Well, then you knew that I would be good at it.
Yeah!
I'm an old soul, Cliff. I'm an old soul.
You're an old, fat soul.
People are talking.
An enormous body.
Talking about people. I hear them whisper. You won't believe it.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Let's give them something to belch about. That's what we try to do every week. Give them something to belch about.
Yeah. Kendall, what a great round of songs you should
know. That was so much fun, Cliff, and that's all the time we have today for Songs You Should Know. Join us next time for more Songs You Should Know. That was so much fun. We should do that every week.
You got it, Kendall. You got it.
No, Zach. We shouldn't. You got it bad. Cliff.
All right.
The kids, they keep singing stuff like that, and they keep saying other things that we have no idea what they're talking about. Let's find out what the kids are saying, Cliff. It's time to find out what the kids are saying.
Oh, I hear them. I hear them texting you, Kendall. It's coming through loud and clear. What are the kids saying?
Oh, Cliff, my first thing that kids are saying to me is textually frustrated. It's like sexually frustrated, but it's textually frustrated. It's when you are desperately waiting for a text, and you either get a text from a person you don't want it to be, or it takes time to come through, one becomes textually frustrated. Yo, Cliff, I've been waiting all night for Shaniqua to text me, and all I have gotten the last hour is a message from my mama. F that, you must be textually frustrated.
F that. That's
F that, true. Cliff. Kendall. F that.
Kendall, I want you to sit and spin.
Oh, that's Cliff, I don't know if I want to do that or not.
That's a polite way to tell someone to go fuck yourself.
Oh.
It's the kind of phrase that even if you've never heard it before, when said at the exact right time, with the correct attitude, everybody in the room knows exactly what it means.
Except for me, Cliff, who I was like, what? Have a sit.
Good old
sit down for a moment.
Sit and spin. And now this is how I heard sit and spin. I heard them say it on Laverne and Shirley. Can you believe it? Laverne and Shirley told people to go f*** themselves.
Good old Laverne and
Squiggy,
Shirley.
Squiggy, why don't you sit and spin?
Cliff, have you heard of an Alaskan jelly fart?
Oh, I've heard of Sarah Palin. Are they synonymous?
They are not. Well, they probably are. Cliff, Mr. Stodbottom has told me to put a disclaimer on this one that we do not endorse the act of an Alaskan jelly fart. We're just saying it, Cliff. It's the act of pouring at least 1 liter of Kool-Aid into your butthole, Cliff, and then jamming the hole up with jelly beans to cork it and hold it.
No.
And hold in the liquid. Then having your partner sit underneath your butthole, Cliff, while you push as hard as possible until the Kool-Aid and jelly beans squirt all over said partner's face. Anything with Alaskan in the title is going to be terrible. I just want you to know that.
Are the kids doing that to one another?
Because they're young, Cliff. They're young and stupid. I feel like an elderly person, like, why do they program VCRs? Well, that's today's VCRs. Like, why are they shooting jelly beans in each other's faces?
I don't know. Kendall, splashback.
Cliff, focus, Cliff. Focus.
Splashback. It's a sort of toilet tsunami. Dropping a turd from a height which hits the water, causing a tidal wave up the pan. In turn, splashes the water over your butt crack. Ooh. Kendall, it's bad when it happens in your own toilet, and it's worse when it happens in a public
toilet. That's why I always do what the kids are saying, a fresh bowl. I flush it. Have a fresh bowl before I start any kind of thing like that. I want to have a clean, fresh bowl. But Cliff, the kids are also
thank you for melting our ice caps and ruining our water supply.
Well, I'm sorry. I want a fresh bowl. If it takes the environment to give me a fresh bowl, they don't splash it on my asshole, Cliff. That's what it's going to take. Cliff, have you heard of a New Year's heave?
I know, but I'm sure I've done a New Year's heave.
I don't know. Cliff, it's to throw up multiple times on New Year's Eve, typically caused from excessive drinking, after the realization that it was yet another sucky year of life. This happens many times when people see their significant other kissing someone else at the stroke of midnight. New Year's heave, Cliff. New Year's
I've
Eve.
I've been known to New Year's Eve just on a random weeknight. After another lousy day,
Cliff, that's a weeknight heave. We're looking for a New Year's heave. And you just did it.
Is it too long after New Year's? Friday night heave, Cliff. Egypt. Now, that is Irish slang for idiot, and why I included that.
I think I got the thing behind that.
Yeah, but I included it because I remember my grandmother saying that when I was a child. She'd say, idiot, and I just thought she just made it up. I thought she just made it up. She's using Irish slang. Did you know this?
Well, I had actually heard that as a kid. I haven't heard that. I never heard that until I started when I met you.
We both heard it as a kid. Isn't that funny?
I was called an idiot, probably because we're both idiots, Cliff. That's why we heard it so many times.
Fat-jit. What is the... What was the fat?
Wow. I've heard idiot and I've heard enormous, huge fatso so many times that I care not to listen anymore.
Mostly the latter, unfortunately.
And Cliff, that's all the kids are saying to me.
Oh, Kendall, that's all the kids. What else could they possibly have to say?
Well, they could say thank you, but I'm not going to report that.
No.
Because when they say that, Cliff, it's just sad and it hurts my feelings.
They wouldn't do it, kids. They wouldn't do it.
Cliff, if our listeners want to know more about January, they can either live for...
Who wouldn't? Is that what month it still is, Kendall? When will this godforsaken January end?
That's what I keep asking myself, Cliff. They want to know more about January. They can either live through it or they can go to cliffandkendall.com.
I choose cliffandkendall.com. I do not want to live through it by any means.
Cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall. Oh my God. facebook.com/cliffandkendall. Twitter.com/CliffKendall. Email us at CliffKendall@yahoo.com or call us at 818-308-4FAT. Oh my God. Interject, Cliff, before I screw everything up.
Wouldn't it be nice to live in a world where we were friends with the Muppets? Wouldn't that be the best?
Yes. Am I a man or a Muppet? I don't know.
That'd be just the best. That'd be the best. The best of all possible worlds. Wouldn't it? Yes.
It would.
Yes, it would. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. And that was from Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening by the Cliff and Kendall of his time, Robert Frost.
Cliff, stop looking at my woods.
You bitch! Cliff! Gander at them, Cliff, at will.
Lots of people go mad in January. Not as many as in May, of course. Nor June. But January is your third most common month for madness, Cliff. And that was Karen Joy Fowler.
Love it, Kendall. Winter is the time for comfort, for good food and warmth, for the touch of a friendly hand.
I love that,
too. And for a talk beside the fire, it is a time for home. And that was said by Edith Sitwell. Sit well on that one and spin, Kendall.
Sit on it.
I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week. Sit on it. We'll see you next week when you're done
singing. Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.
Sit on it!